You know, that's the way the Lord is. He doesn't leave any of us. Open your Bibles to three places tonight, if you would. Colossians chapter 4, Philemon, and 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Colossians chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and Philemon. I actually heard this message, the outline sort of this message down camp. Guy preached something similar to what I'm going to bring tonight, but it kind of spoke to me, and I thought it's something that I'd like to share with you. And I began to think a little bit and add a little bit to it and move some things around and think a little bit about it. But if you look in your Bibles, these three places that you got your finger, other than the book of Luke, it's the only places that Luke is mentioned by name. If you look in Colossians chapter 4, and notice in verse number 14, the Bible says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now remember, Demas was the one that left Paul. As a matter of fact, we're going to see right here. You look in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Notice if you would in verse number 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, is parted into Thessalonica, and Crescens, and to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. And so here we find Luke mentioned again. Now notice that Luke is with Paul. And Philemon, if you look in verse number 24, here he says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Now, Lucas is a Greek name for Luke, and it's Luke. These three places Luke is mentioned. But I want to think, and I want to concentrate tonight upon the thought, Luke, the beloved physician. Now, I want you to think about, and I want to give you a little something that I hope will be a help. When you look, you find that Luke was responsible and given the responsibility and privilege of writing two books in the New Testament. He wrote the book of Luke, inspired by the Holy Ghost, and he also wrote the book of Acts. Now, in both of those books, he wrote them to a guy called Theophilus. In Luke chapter number 1, verse 3, you'll find Theophilus. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, again, he directs it to Theophilus. Now, Theophilus was for most people thinks, was a Gentile, very prominent Gentile. Someone who evidently had a great interest or had either been saved. And so Luke directs both of the books that he wrote to him. Now, some people think that Luke may have been as well a Gentile because of different things, the words and phrases and different things that he used. He used 220-some words that nobody else ever used in his writing, his style, and he was very knowledgeable about Greek, but he also had a great interest in Old Testament because he knew a lot about the rites and ceremonies and so forth of the Jewish people. Now, I said all that to say this. When you get into the first half of Acts, you find that he's always referring to pronouns. We talked about pronouns in Sunday school this morning of you and so forth. But the second half, he's talking about we. Now, Luke joined Paul at Troas on Paul's second missionary journey. Then he went on to Philippi with him. And then 6 years later, he joined him on the third missionary journey. And so Luke went with him. Now, you've got to remember what a blessing it was that Luke was there. Now, Paul talks about many places his infirmities. Now, you've got to picture Paul. He'd gone through a lot of things. Some of us have battle scars. We've been injured, and we've got injuries and scars and so forth coming back from that. Paul got beat a lot. He got stoned to death, he thought, or right at the point of death. He probably had a lot of scars just on his face. He probably, to be honest with you, probably looked pretty rough. He had his body took a lot of beatings. He talked about his thorn in the flesh. And he prayed that God would remove it, whatever it was. Can you imagine what a blessing to have a physician going with you? Tonight I want you to concentrate on this thought. Sometimes we think that preaching is the highest calling there is. Many of you will never be called to preach. The highest calling you've got is what God wants you to do in your life. It may be a physician. It may be a plumber. It may be a mechanic. It may be a nurse. It may be anything. It may be someone working construction. In whatever capacity God has taken you to, it's amazing how you can use it for the glory of God. Sometimes what we've done, now don't get me wrong, I don't want you to take this wrong. But in our churches, we have pushed some of our young men into ministries when God didn't call them. By trying to emphasize and make them think that the only way to please God is being in the ministry of preaching. Someone who's not called can be one of the most miserable persons in the world behind this pulpit and can also do the most damage. Not everybody's called. Now, I'm confident that there's a lot of people that steps up behind this pulpit. They've been well to just find what God was calling them to do and do it for the glory of God. Sometimes they do it because they think that stepping up behind this pulpit brings prestige. But I'm convinced of this, and some people will, that some people takes it just for the prestige. They're young, and that's why the Bible says that young pastors, you don't call young men that's novice into pastorship. People that has no experience. Because what happens, they get lifted up with pride. They take it for all the wrong reasons. The authority that you get stepping up here is not an authority that you want to abuse. It's not one that you want to run roughshod over the people. It's not one that you want to sell out to the highest bidder. It's one in which you humble. It's humbling. Rick was talking about the other day teaching up here, and it's a humbling experience. I tell you, I still get nervous. My hands are wet. And I've got mostly just people I see each and every time, except for a few. But my point is this, there's no greater calling than what God would have you to do. Amen. I want to show you a couple things. First of all, let me flip through the book of Acts. Look if you would in Acts chapter 16. Turn over there to book Acts. We're just going to stay in Acts from this point on. And I want to just show you a couple things, just flipping through fast. And keep your Bibles open to Acts. Look in Acts chapter 16. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we, notice that little word we, were in that city abiding certain days. Now remember, Luke is writing this. Not only was Paul there, Luke was there. Look on, if you would, in chapter 20. If you turn to chapter 20, the Bible says, after the uproar, and by the way, Luke was there, was ceased, Paul called unto him, the disciples embraced him, and departed for to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return to Macedonia. And he goes on, and if you look down in verse number 6, as he goes on, he talks about going on to Troas, and he says, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, where we abode 7 days. Again, look, if you would, in chapter 27. Chapter 27, these are just a few places. In chapter 27, again, verse number 1 and 2, it says, and it was determined that we should sail into Italy. Now, you've got to remember, a lot of these places are sailing as dangerous. In verse 2, again, he uses the word we. Chapter 28, again, you find several times he uses the word we, verses 13 through 16. My point is that Luke was with Paul. Luke is writing the book of Acts. You never hear Luke mention Luke. Sometimes he mentions we. But he doesn't put a lot of emphasis on the we. But Paul was going through a lot of issues. He faced a lot of things. And guess what? Luke, we went with him and threw him with him. Now, first of all, you need to understand that Luke's calling was like I said. He wasn't called to be a preacher per se, a missionary or a pastor. He was a great physician. Now, do you imagine that he could have probably made a lot more money had he stayed home and just set up business and did that? Sure. But can you imagine again, as I said, can you imagine how much of a help he was to the ministry of Paul? When he hurt, when he suffered, to be able to help him and do the things that he needs to do. And so therefore, you know what? One of the greatest callings, can I tell you one of the greatest callings there is? To be a mom. You hear me? And I know a while back, some in the liberal politics was making fun of women and kind of downplaying mothers. But when you read the book of Titus, that's a pretty important job. Somebody said, well, I can't do nothing for the Lord. I've got to stay home with my children. You don't understand. If that's where God puts you, use it for the glory of God. That's where God wants you. And that's the highest calling that there is for you. And so don't ever take a back seat to where you are and what you do. You know, ministries needs all kinds of people. Some of you can drive nails. Some of you can do this. Some of you can do crafts. Some of you can do this. Some of you has a gift of seeing something that needs and stepping up. And it's just amazing how God uses different people. But knows also his constraint and humility. As I said, you never find... Luke could have said, listen, I, Luke, was with Paul when we went through this, and I did this, and I done that. All you ever get, the very most you ever get from Luke was we. And he never emphasizes anything he did. But yet he was there, and I'm sure, man, he went through some suffering. He spent some time in jail. I'm sure he had all kinds of issues in his life. But yet you never hear him lifting up Luke. Listen, you say, Sometimes you say, well, I do these things and nobody never recognizes. Oh, yes, they do. God recognizes. Can I say that there are some churches that has a philosophy of building people up, in other words, with the wrong type of pride? They get them to do things and bring them up, make big deals out of it in front of everybody and have them applaud and do all these things over and over and over. And then everybody wants to be applauded to, and they do this and they do that. But if they're doing it for their glory of being applauded, what good does it do? God wants us to do it for His glory. And someday, if we need applauded, He'll applaud us when we get to heaven. You have a way of doing that. But until that time, you need to understand and you need to look at Luke and understand. Luke just followed his calling. Luke was restrained, not seeking his own glory. Some people said, well, if I'm not a big eye, I'm not much of a church. Can I say everybody who sits in the pew here is important? You have a responsibility. Use the talent in which you have. And can I say this too, since tonight and this morning? I cannot emphasize how much your singing helps a service. But don't sing for your glory, but sing for the glory of God.
Right. Amen.
But when you do it, how it helps the service. The singing this morning, it helped the service. Do you ever notice how God just kind of, everything kind of works together in those things? And how many times that God moves during the service? Folks, don't underestimate the gifts that God has given you to do.
Amen.
If I had some of your talents, I'd probably sing all the time. But you know, to be honest with you, I probably need to sing more than I do. Not because I think I sing well, but because I should sing for His glory. But my point is this. We do it with humility. Luke was a humble man. Not only that, but also the courage that he had. Imagine this, facing the issues that Paul... You know, when Paul said, I was shipwrecked over here, and I was here, and I was here. I'd done this. I went through this. Guess who was with him? And you know, Luke could say, oh, my back. I spent, you know, there in chapter 27, 28, when Paul was shipwrecked, and he was, everybody's hanging on to pieces of wood and so forth. He said, oh, my back. Oh, you don't know how bad I hurt. You don't know how my arthritis bought. Not one word. You know what he said? We sailed here. Paul said, now we were shipwrecked over here. An angel told me this. And I told everybody nobody would be lost. And we went. We this and this happened. This. But you know what else Paul said over in Timothy? When he got there right before he was going to die at Rome, guess what? He said, Luke is the only one with me. Guess who went through all those things with him? And yet why he was writing those things in Luke, in Acts, he did not build himself up. Now, I'm sure probably he went through, and he, you know, he could have very well broke his leg, but he didn't say, boy, I broke my leg when we went through the shipwreck there. When Paul was whipped, they whipped me. When they threw Paul in jail, I had to go to jail with him. Not one word. Three times in the whole Bible, Luke's name is mentioned other than the name of the book. The rest of the time, he was very discreet. But you know what? He had great courage. Just kept going on. You know what church needs? It needs people that just comes and does it. Nothing worse than having a job and responsibility and showing up half the time with it. Brother Greg manages some people. How would you feel, Greg, if people just decided when to come in and when not to come in? Or if they just showed up half the time? Somebody said, well, we don't get paid here. Depends on what you call pay.
Right.
Those windows of heaven is pretty nice.
Right.
He has a way of just sprinkling a few things down occasionally.
Well,
I'll say this with David. I once was young, but now I'm old. I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. My point is this, that Luke, he went through those things. And he went through and he had a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage. You know, I mentioned, I don't want to point out different ones, but I mentioned this morning, Mom. But you know, not only with her, but with others too, but I can't tell you how much a blessing it is for me to see her come. Every service, she's just here. Not a big heyday. Not a big thing. She just comes, sits in her seat. But she comes. Several more of you. And you know, when you got a church, you ought to have a seat and people ought to be willing to look for you. But now, don't have such a seat that when somebody's in it, you tell them to get up and leave. Me and Chris went to Mississippi. And we went in Sunday school and asked, we said, where should we sit? The lady said, sit anywhere. Nobody down here has any seats. They won't say nothing to you. I said, I don't care where you sit. She sat in the seat before she got touched the seat. Woman come up and said, you're sitting in my seat. You need to get up. But she had Alzheimer's. She was a pastor's wife, the retired pastor's wife. But she didn't have good mental capacity at that time. And so they apologized 1,000 times about it. But I told them, I said, she's a pastor wife. She's used to getting stuff like that. That's no problem. But anyway, the truth of the matter is this, that we need to understand that we need to be consistent. When Paul looked around, Luke was still there. When it looked rough, when he got to the end, it's nice to see people. And you know, I hear this comment quite a bit now. I tell you, it blesses my heart. Some of you that comes three times a week, I cannot tell you what a blessing it is. But I want you coming for me. I want you coming for yourself.
Amen.
But you know, it's a blessing when you have a church that don't have to close its doors on Wednesday and Sunday night because nobody shows up. That's a shame. You know, I went and preached at church, and I looked at Sunday morning, they had 325 people. They had about 12 people that night. I thought they were down just because I was preaching. They said, we didn't even know you was going to preach, so this is our normal crowd on Sunday night. I thought, how sad. And last but not least, I want you to know that how the Bible says that Luke, it talks about us praying and where Lydia, they went over and they went here and he said, I'll help preach the gospel. Listen, you don't have to stand behind the pulpit to help preach. You can take the word in so many different ways. And sacrifices that you make. As I said, he probably could have done something. I watched this one, I call them, you hear this thing about fake news all the time. I call them fake preachers on TV, some of them fake preachers.
Yeah.
I watched one going through, he was going through a deposition. And he was getting up in front of everybody and saying, I give millions to the church every year. Everybody, and of course he was telling that and then telling you, well, you need to give some too because I'm giving millions to the church. They said, well, how much you give? They couldn't find where he gave nothing. He said, well, I give my potential. He said, I could be making a lot money, more money other places. Now, he had about 5 different mansions, had a jet airplane, had a few other things, and he could be making more money They said, what would you do to make more money? He said, well, I could possibly be a chef. Ignorant. But I'll tell you what, I sure wouldn't want to be sitting in his seat when it comes judgment time. But my point is this. What he was doing was raking everybody's money in his pocket. But sacrifices. We've got to have people to give. Tithes and offerings are part of it. Somebody was telling me this morning about somebody criticizing them that they were talking to about their tithes and offerings. I've had the same thing here. Only time I ever got inspected by the IRS was one time for our tithes and offerings that we gave the church. But my point is this. If we don't have people willing to do that, the church don't exist. We all have to do those things together. But you don't have to be called as a preacher to be instrumental to God. Do what God, and use where God has put you, and do what God has called you to do. And it's amazing how God will bless us. And so tonight I want to share with you that one thought, Luke, the beloved physician, and what a man Luke was, what a help to the ministry. But it wasn't because he was called to preach. But he helped get the word and share the ministry in so many ways. It was probably, and we probably just know a little small token of everything that Luke did and what he went through. But it's amazing how God used him and how God blessed him. And so tonight I wanted you to realize, don't ever think that you're not useful to God. He just wants to see you do what you're called to do, be consistent in it, have courage in what you're doing, because it takes courage. It takes courage to do. But also I want you to understand that God has ways of rewarding those. And so tonight, I want you to think about that. And I want you to understand how important you are to the work of the Lord. Each and every one of you. And we thank you. We thank God for you because of your faithfulness. Amen. Let's stand tonight.
Page 28.